weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's Friday. Friday at last, huh? And man, you know, I've talked to people a couple of days ago. They were in weekend mode. I said, what are you guys nuts? They said, well, you know, we have the possibility of a long holiday weekend coming up. Well, we're going to be here as normal on Monday. So we're not going to have a long holiday weekend. In fact, we have a great show lined up for you on Monday. We'll tell you about that a little bit later. Today, we're going to learn about life. And I don't mean that in general. I mean life specifically. Wonderful program that operates here in Butler County. Also on the program today, I got word of an interesting concept that a psychologist had been working on for some years. Her name is Anna Usom, and she's an MD. She's a medical doctor. But she has been researching the concept of spirituality with regard to healing. And a lot of people would say, oh, wow, I've been experiencing that all my life. I know a lot of people have. But she is really kind of joining together the science and the spiritual in terms of helping people heal in a variety of ways. So we'll talk to her about that a little bit later on the program today. Also today, the disappearing spoon. Yeah, we'll tell you about that a little bit later. But our first guest is right here in the studio with us. She is Janice Rogers, and Janice is the enrollment manager for LIFE, L-I-F-E, LIFE, Butler County. Janice, nice to have you here today. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you for having me today.
I'm sure there are a lot of people, well, maybe some people anyway, who are not quite sure what LIFE Butler County is. So maybe we better start there before we get into the details of all the services that are available through the program. What is LIFE Butler County?
Well, LIFE stands for Living Independence for the Elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide an alternative to living in a nursing home. So for those people that live in Butler County, are age 55 and older, that need some help managing their health care, want to live at home and not in a nursing home, mm-hmm. we provide medical care. We also have an adult day center and in-home care and services that make it possible for them to be at home safely for as long as possible.
And how long has LIFE Butler County been around?
We opened our center in September of 2008. We're part of Lutheran Senior LIFE, which has programs in four counties.
Mm-hmm.
So LIFE Beaver County opened about 5 years before we did, then Butler County, and then we have a program in Lawrence and also in Armstrong counties.
Lutheran Senior LIFE has really been expanding their programs, haven't they, over the past couple of decades?
Yes, we provide
a lot of social services.
Wide variety of services, yeah, for seniors.
Absolutely wonderful, yeah. So you've been around for 9 years, almost 9 years.
Yes, since the program started.
Mm-hmm. Have you expanded since your beginning? I'm sure you have. You have a lot more people you serve now?
We just recently had an open house to celebrate the expansion of our building, which is over on West Diamond Street.
Mm-hmm.
So our capacity in our day center was 50 participants. It's now more than doubled, up to 107 that we can have in the center on any given day.
Wow. West Diamond, by the way, that is, how do we describe that? It's down over the hill and back of the courthouse, right?
Absolutely. That's what I tell people. Two blocks down the hill behind the courthouse.
Is this a new facility, or was it repurposed from a building that was already there?
It used to be the county assistance office building.
Oh, okay.
And then for a while, we were in half of the building, and the dialysis center was in the other half. But then they moved to a new location, and we spread out into the entire building and had it remodeled.
Perfect for your expanding program, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got a lot that I want to talk about with regard to LIFE Butler County, Living Independence
for the Elderly.
For the Elderly. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it's an acronym, L-I-F-E.
It is.
Uh-huh. Well, and an accurate one, LIFE.
Yes, yeah. Very LIFE. Appropriate.
Yeah. So among the services that you offer would be what, for example?
We offer comprehensive and coordinated medical care. We have our own primary care physician. We have registered nurses, certified nurse practitioner, as well as LPNs and certified nurses aides.
Would people who are enrolled come to you on West Diamond Street, or would you go to them, or both?
A bit of both. Attendance at the day center is based on medical and social needs, mm-hmm. which is determined through an assessment prior to enrollment. A lot of our services are provided in the home. We do have specific home care, assistance with bathing, dressing, those types of things. Mm-hmm. People do not have to come to the center just for recreational purposes. But if there is a medical need to see the doctor or have therapy, then typically they would come into the center for all medical and then sometimes for social as well.
What are PACE programs, or what were PACE programs? Are they still around?
They are. Life is actually part of the National PACE program.
That's P-A-C-E, PACE.
Program mm-hmm. of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly. And we actually are a PACE program. However, in Pennsylvania, PACE typically means prescription drug benefits to our residents in
this
state.
That's why I was confused, because I knew there was a program called PACE from some years ago, and I was confused there, I'll be very honest with you.
So that's why we have the name LIFE, Living Independence for the Elderly, so that we eliminate that source of confusion by not having two PACE programs.
Now, is the are in other parts of the country where it is called PACE, are they also involved with the Lutheran Senior Life, or might they be partnered with other social service groups?
They could be partnered with other organizations. In Pennsylvania, there are different organizations put in bids or proposals for life programs in the various counties, and the state then awarded the counties to different organizations, with mm-hmm. Lutheran Senior Life being awarded four counties.
Mm-hmm. I know Lutheran Senior Life, and it had a previous name that was similar, but they've been involved in other areas of social services where they have been awarded state contracts because they got the people in place that know what they're doing, you know?
We have a lot of people with expertise in mm-hmm. the field of geriatrics.
So has the national program, PACE, has it been around longer than Life Butler County?
The PACE program has been around since the early 1970s, and currently there are 31 states across the country that have PACE programs operating.
Mm-hmm. Does this have anything to do with government at any time?
It does. We are funded by Medicare and Medicaid, so we do receive both federal and state funding for the program.
Well, for goodness sakes, why wouldn't all the states be involved in it then?
That's a good question.
How come there's, you said 37?
31.
31. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would seem like if there's federal money available to help fund it, for goodness sakes.
And it's a great program.
Why wouldn't you do it? Yeah. I mean, maybe some of the really rural states, I mean, like, you know, Montana, where the population is few and far between. I don't know. Maybe. It just seems like a no-brainer to me.
I agree. It's a wonderful program. It's a financial benefit for the state, and it's a wonderful benefit for an individual to be able to live in their own home.
Mm-hmm. Do you have your own health care professionals, or do you partner up with like medical centers or hospitals or something?
Well, Lutheran Senior Life partners with the Butler Health System to provide mm-hmm. Life Butler County. Mm-hmm. So we do utilize the Butler Health System for the medical care.
And that's the Butler Health System is the parent of Butler Memorial Hospital.
Yes.
And there's a lot of other things included under the Butler Health System umbrella, but that's what we're talking about. Okay, so we have a little bit more of a general idea here of what we're talking about. Do you enroll in life? What's the deal? How do you get involved?
If there's somebody that's having difficulty managing their health care, they would just simply reach out and contact me, either by stopping by the center at 231 West Diamond Street or giving me a call at 724-287-5433. And I'd be glad to give them information on the services that we provide as well as the criteria that someone would meet to be eligible to enroll.
So to make sure they're qualified, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure there's a further screening process once that whole operation begins, right?
There is. We are looking at age, 55 or older, resident of the county where the LIFE program is operating, the need for assistance with managing health care, as well as making sure that with services in place, the individual would be safe at home. And then the financial guidelines will determine if there is a copay or a private pay amount. The program is basically aimed at the low-income individual. So for those individuals that do meet the financial as well as the other criteria, there are no copays, no deductibles, and no co-insurances for any of the services that we provide.
When I was looking at the components of LIFE, which you had outlined, adult daycare, we'll talk about that in a little bit, in-home care, but medical care is one of the components too. So my first question would have been, don't these individuals have their own doctor? Well, maybe they can't afford it. Maybe they don't have one, huh?
Right. Most of them do have their own primary care physician, and that can be a barrier to the program. You know, if you've had a physician for 25 or 30 years, you develop a trust relationship with that person, and it is hard to make a change. Mm-hmm. We do work with those current primary care physicians to facilitate a transition into the LIFE program, with Dr. Hanna being the ordering physician, the primary care physician of record, once a person enrolls with us.
I see. Dr. Hanna?
Dr. Abir Hanna is our physician for LIFE Butler County. She works with us full-time, so our participants are her only caseload. Hmm. So we have 186 people in our program at the current time. So she has time to get to know each individual.
Some of my questions are going to be dumb, I know, but that's because
okay.
I don't know too much about this. When, say, a person does meet all of the qualifications, or maybe a family member of someone is listening to us and they think, well, maybe mom or dad or somebody might meet the qualifications here. Whenever you're enrolled, do you pay a fee? Do you pay a flat fee? What's the deal on that?
If you meet the financial criteria, there are no copays. So you wouldn't pay anything for the medical, the adult day, the in-home services, or for the medical transportation that we provide. Mm-hmm. If you are over the monthly income guidelines, you can do a monthly spend down that's calculated by County Assistance Office. If you are over resources, then there is a flat rate private pay amount if you're interested in the LIFE program at that rate.
Okay, so it would vary according to circumstance.
Yes.
Good. Okay, adult daycare. For people who don't know what this is, we're talking, by the way, with Janice Rogers. Janice is here today to give us, and me, an overview on LIFE, Living Independence for the Elderly, specifically LIFE Butler County. It's a pretty amazing program, I think you would agree. Janice is the enrollment manager for LIFE Butler County. So back to my question, generally, what is adult daycare? What are we talking about here?
An adult daycare is a center, a location where adults needing some assistance can go for the day, serves a couple of primary purposes. One is to give the caregiver of that individual some respite, mm-hmm. Where they can manage their own health care, they can still work without having to worry about their loved one, and knowing that they're in good hands and being taken care of while they're at the center with us. The other primary goal of our adult day health center is to provide a one-stop shop, basically, one location where there are a lot of services available to the individual. So we do have, in addition to our health clinic with the doctor and nurses, we have physical, speech, and occupational therapy available there. We have a dietitian on site, and there are also recreational and socialization opportunities there.
So this could be a hypothetical example. Someone with, let's say, a parent, an aging parent, and the parent's living with a couple, son or daughter and spouse. They both work. there's some concern about leaving the parent alone during the day, mm-hmm. this would be a place where this individual could go and stay?
Absolutely. If somebody that's a participant in our program can't be left home alone, unsupervised, and caregivers work, then there's the option of having that person come into the day center 5 days a week. So we do partner with families in order to take a lot of the worry, the stress off their shoulders, but we want to keep them engaged in providing care, but more so to give them the opportunity to enjoy spending quality time mm-hmm. with their loved one instead of just worrying.
I've read about individuals who, caregivers I'm talking about, who not only work themselves sick, work themselves to death sometimes. It's tragic, but it happens more frequently than you might imagine, where they're just so involved in caring for a mother, a father, a spouse, that they don't, their own health deteriorates.
Right. Being a caregiver is very stressful, especially if you're taking care of an elderly loved one. You have a job, you have your own children, and you're trying to juggle everything. Causes a lot of stress and worry, mm-hmm. but by partnering with us to help provide care for that loved one, a lot of that tension goes away because now that caregiver has a huge backup support team to help them reach their goal, which is keeping mom or dad at home as long as possible.
Can people utilize this adult day healthcare center, say like 1 or 2 days a week instead of five?
We have people that come in anywhere from 1 to 5 days a week, with the average being 1 or 2 days per week.
Oh, okay. So that's certainly possible. Huh?
Yes. It's based on medical and social needs.
Mm-hmm. What about transportation? Is that the responsibility of the caregiver or the other family member, or how's that work?
That's another thing they don't have to worry about with us. We do have our own buses, and we provide the transportation not only to and from the center, but to and from any medical appointments that are scheduled as well.
Hmm. Folks, did you know about this? I didn't realize this is a wonderful program. Wonderful program. Wow.
All of our buses also are handicap accessible. They all have a wheelchair lift. Plus, we have an assistant that goes with the driver, so one of them is always available to go inside the house and help the individual get safely out to and on the van.
Mm-hmm. So, do you take a bag lunch whenever you go to the adult day healthcare center?
We provide a continental breakfast, a hot lunch, and an afternoon snack for the participants when they're at the center. So there's always food available. I like to say we put the activities in between the food we fit it in.
Gosh, you do everything except wash windows. Maybe you do that too. I don't know.
Well, we don't do heavy cleaning, unfortunately, but we do light housekeeping.
I was kidding. We're talking about Life Butler County. Folks, it's pretty amazing. This program has been in operation here in Butler County for almost a decade. Almost, it's 9 years.
Yes.
Started in 08. And did you tell me you have close to 200 people enrolled right now in that neighborhood?
Yes, we have 186 right now.
Wow. There are professional health care services available as well at the Adult Day Health Care Center. Things like speech therapy?
Yes, physical therapy, occupational therapy. And if somebody is homebound for medical reasons, all of our services can be provided in the home.
What's the difference between physical therapy and occupational therapy?
Occupational therapy works with daily living activities. What's the most efficient, safest way to, let's say, open the refrigerator door, get your beverage, put it on your walker tray, and get back to your chair?
Okay.
So they work with practical activities. Physical therapy is more about strengthening, balance, more the gross motor skills.
Mm-hmm. Even moving, I should imagine, would be a challenge for at least some people. And once you start to become sedentary, it's pretty easy to fall into that habit. And it's not healthy, of course.
Absolutely. So when someone is in our program, if there are things that they can do safely and independently, we definitely want them to continue doing that, and we provide support then where it's needed.
And what does a dietitian do? Help make sure they're eating well at home? Obviously, they're going to be eating well if they're eating at the center.
The dietitian will take a look at any specific eating concerns, nutritional concerns. We'll check to see if somebody needs adaptive equipment like built-up silverware or dishes that might have a lip on them. So they will take a look at that, and they'll monitor the nutritional status of each person and make recommendations for diet or supplements as needed.
Mm-hmm. Build up silverware. What, is easier to hold?
It is, because the handle is a lot thicker. So for somebody maybe that has arthritis and has trouble closing their fist the whole way,
okay,
the larger handle is easier to get your hand around and to use.
Hmm. Didn't know that. Wonder if they make toothbrushes like that too.
I would imagine they make most anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the adaptive equipment.
That can be difficult for anybody of any age sometimes to
True.
Hold a toothbrush.
True.
We're talking with Janice Rogers. Janice is enrollment manager for Life Butler County. And it's great to have her with us here on the program today. I'm learning a lot about this entire operation. Can't believe I didn't know that much about it.
And I'm so glad to have the opportunity to tell people about the LIFE program, because there are many people out there that don't know the program is available to them and what services we can offer.
And you want to make sure that everyone who's eligible and qualifies takes advantage of it, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, you don't have to be Lutheran to be involved in this program, do you?
You do not. Mm-hmm. Religious affiliation does not matter when you're looking into the program. We provide services to help all individuals live an abundant life.
That's the way all of our, and so many of our faith traditions provide services. There's Catholic social services, Presbyterians do great work, Methodists, and in all cases it's non-denominational.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. I was talking to Jimmy Ciprian just a couple of days ago about SAS sandals. You know, the hot weather is here. We had a little bit of a blip earlier this week when it cooled down for a couple of days. But, ooh, it's back to summertime now. And if somebody in your family who likes to wear sandals, whether it's men or women, but your sandals are uncomfortable. I had a pair of sandals once that just killed me whenever I put them on. And no wonder. I think they were made out of old tires. I'm not exaggerating. This was back when I was in undergraduate school. Folks, SAS, America's favorite comfort shoe company, makes sandals. And they have them for men and women. They have them in a variety of styles, just like their SAS shoes. And SAS sandals are so comfortable. I can speak personally about it. They are, well, they're just like SAS shoes. They feel like bedroom slippers, but they're very fashionable. They're very nice. They're cool. SAS sandals for men and women. Your local headquarters for SAS shoes and sandals, Miller Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Various colors and styles to get that famous Miller's fit. By the way, if you're looking for athletic shoes during the summer months, you never beat the selection that you find at Miller's Shoes. They have all the famous name brands there, all under one roof. Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, ProPet. Got them all. Biggest selection in the area. Miller's Shoes. A tradition for 125 years now, believe it or not. Yeah, 125 years. South Main Street, 215 South Main Street, downtown Butler. They're open 10 to 5 daily, 10 to 4 on Saturdays. Miller's Shoes. We are chatting with Janice Rogers. Janice is the enrollment manager for Life Butler County. Another area that is very helpful for people who are at this age is 55 and older, right? Is
that 55 and older.
Yeah. Sometimes they lack the ability to socialize, or they lack the opportunity, would be better, to socialize. Nobody else around that they really feel they can talk to comfortably.
A lot of times as people get older, there are different health conditions that make it impossible for them to drive independently anymore, and family members work, so isolation happens.
Mm-hmm. There goes the afternoon tea, there goes the bridge club, whatever,
right. Mm-hmm. Right, because there's just no opportunity to get there to those activities anymore. At the center, we have a variety of recreational activities available. Each day, there's at least one exercise activity because we want people to keep their strength and their abilities for as long as possible. And then a variety of other things. There may be visitors that come to the center. I know we have the Pittsburgh Zoo come up a couple times a year with different animals that they educate us on. There are craft activities, baking activities, reminiscing, a lot of music-involved activities. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if there's a holiday, we find a reason to celebrate. So a lot of parties, too.
I was interviewing somebody within the past couple of months. I don't remember exactly how the subject came up, but it had to do with music almost as a therapy. For people to help jog their memory. Sometimes people who are in the beginning stages of dementia, their memory will snap back when they hear a song or hear music from a certain era, and it's like, I mean, they just light up.
Yes, it brings back good memories, good feelings. And our recreation manager is actually a certified music therapist. And we do have the music therapy students from Slippery Rock University come down and interact with our participants as well.
I remember now I was interviewing a woman, and this is within the past month or so. She also was a music therapist. So that's when we were talking about this. So all of these things we've been discussing so far take place at the Adult Day Healthcare Center, which is on West Diamond Street. What about individuals who choose to remain in their home? You have a variety of in-home services as well?
We do. We have home care aides and certified nurses' aides that can go into the home and help with bathing, dressing, and grooming, so daily living activities. We can also help with some light housekeeping and laundry, and we can prepare meals and pick up groceries for individuals as well.
Hmm. Light housekeeping and laundry. There is no such thing as light laundry.
No, just the housekeeping part is light.
Laundry's a bag, no matter how you look at it. It's like doing the dishes. It's just got to be done. It's never any fun, but you got to do it. Huh?
And we can do laundry in the person's home. But if they don't have washer-dryer access, we do have a laundry at our center where staff will bring their clothing in, launder it at the center, and then take it back to their home.
It must mean a tremendous amount to people who really want to stay in their home as long as they possibly can to get this kind of help. These are tasks that for most of us might seem quite mundane and quite simple. But if you're not able to do them anymore, and it would mean that you had to leave your home, gosh, what a difference this makes.
Right. It changes the quality of their life. It's such an improvement for them in quality of life. And they're so happy to be in the program that enables them to stay at home. And they develop close relationships with the staff that work with them on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm. And if they're staying with at the home of family,
yes,
whether it could, you know, it could be adult children or any number of different family situations, that's a big that's a big ease of stress for them too.
Yes, and as long as they're in what's considered independent living, which could be in their own home, in a senior apartment, with a caregiver or family member, we can provide services for people that qualify. However, in Pennsylvania, if somebody's in a personal care or assisted living home, they would not qualify for the LIFE program.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's understandable. Yeah,
they're already receiving services.
Chosen to go another direction. But what if it's somebody that's living with adult children? You know, like they have a, a wing of the house or something like that, or a basement, you know, apartment.
That's absolutely fine.
That's okay.
Considered independent living, yes. And so if they meet the other criteria, then they would be eligible for services.
Mm-hmm. And would services be provided like, I don't know, once a week, something like that?
Well, that's a question that everybody asks me when I go do the home visits.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you the services that we offer that are possible, but the specific care plan, the dates and times, frequency of services, is based on an assessment that we do prior to enrollment. So each care plan, each service plan is based on individual needs, so no two are alike.
Mm-hmm.
There may be an individual that needs housekeeping and chore services once every other week. There may be an individual that we send help into the home 4 times a day, 7 days a week.
Uh-huh.
So it is definitely based on individual needs.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe once a month, who knows, for some people.
Right, depending on...
Depending on what their...
Their situation.
And you do an assessment whenever they're enrolled.
Right. Plus, we do an assessment every 6 months and anytime the situation changes for them.
Mm-hmm. We talked about the age criteria for if people are thinking about enrolling in Life, Butler County. So it's 55 or older.
Yes.
What about where you live? Are there geographical requirements?
Yes, you have to live in the county where the Life program is offered, and it does go by the geographical boundaries. So a lot of the states in Pennsylvania, counties in Pennsylvania, probably about half at this point, mm-hmm. do have Life programs up and running.
Okay. And that can happen around here. In fact, it's kind of, I'm smiling because just earlier this week, I had the opportunity to drive through my old hometown where I spent my elementary school years. It's Parker. It's up by the river, the Allegheny River. And the county line runs right through Parker. If you live on it, we were laughing about it because the street is called Division Avenue. And if you live on one side of that street, you're in Armstrong County. And if you live across the street, 15 feet away, you're in Butler County.
And so that would determine whether Life Butler County or Life Armstrong County would serve you based on where you are in relationship to that county line.
Mm-hmm. We were laughing because we had schoolmates, school chums, when we were young. And, you know, we'd play baseball together in the summertime, and they lived across the street. They would go to the Carn City School District, whereas the other kids would go to AC Valley. And it was hilarious because they lived right next door to each other. So that can happen. Got to live in Butler County.
Right. Yes.
No.
For this program,
exactly.
Life Butler County, mm-hmm. you do have to live within the geographic borders of the county.
And if you're living in one of the adjacent counties that has a Life program, you would have to enroll.
Right. And if you contact me for information, I would refer you and help you get in contact with that appropriate Life program.
What about medical eligibility? Are there any conditions which would preclude someone becoming enrolled?
The only situation is where the person would not be safe at home, even with the services we could put in place. Otherwise, we do have people that have physical disabilities as well as cognitive disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
A situation where someone might not be safe at home, mm-hmm. in case someone would wonder about that, could be someone with dementia that lives by themselves. And then they start to wander.
Okay. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
And if they don't have somebody with them, because we are not there 24 hours a day, so we would not be able to keep that person safe, mm-hmm. most likely. And so another setting, more residential setting, might be more appropriate for them.
What about a person who was, for one reason or another, it could be aging, it could be illness, becoming unstable, and there would be a danger of them falling?
Well, there's a danger of us falling at any time.
That's
for
true.
Any of us.
You do that when you're 16 years
right.
old.
Right. Yeah. So if you are at risk for falling, your location doesn't matter. So would you prefer to be at risk of falling in a nursing home, or would you prefer to be at risk of falling in your own home? That's what we would look at.
I guess that was a better question than I thought it might be.
It was an excellent question.
Yeah. What about financial criteria? You said this is aimed generally. Obviously, there are some income qualifications,
yes.
Income restrictions.
And resource guidelines.
Are they complex, or can you give us a quick summary of those?
Sure. I can give you what the guidelines are currently. They do change each year. But right now, a person that's applying needs to make less than a monthly amount of $2,205 gross.
Mm-hmm.
That is only the applicant's income. So if there is a spouse, that spouse's income is not included. If the applicant is over that income, there are still ways to spend down and look at the program. So I tell everybody, please don't let the financial part keep you from making that initial contact to learn about the program.
That income would include everything, for example,
Social Security, pension.
Any investment, everything. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. Got that.
And then resources are the second financial guideline. And resources would include things like money in checking or savings, stocks, bonds, money markets, CDs, IRAs. Cash value of life insurance policies. Those are all considered resources or assets.
Mm-hmm.
And for the applicant, those have to total $8,000 or less. When there's a spouse, there's a calculation that's done by county assistance office. But if somebody's over the $8,000, there are multiple ways that they can spend down within the Medicaid guidelines to meet that criteria.
What if you own your own home? Does that count as an asset?
It is not included in the asset total at the time of enrollment. But in Pennsylvania, there is estate recovery that does apply to anybody that's receiving state Medicaid funding that's in a life program or a nursing home
mm-hmm.
setting.
Mm-hmm.
So when the state is providing the funds for an individual's health care, when that individual passes away, the state does have the right to recoup as much of their money as possible from the proceeds of the probated estate.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there are other things that can be looked at with home ownership. So I recommend to individuals to consult with an elder law attorney that can take a look at the situation. This attorney knows the Medicaid guidelines and can look at ways to preserve the individual's assets as much as possible.
We're talking about a program called Life Butler County, and I will confess I feel kind of silly that I didn't know much about this program at all. I've learned a lot already talking with Janice Rogers with us here today, but that's what we're talking about. Janice is the enrollment manager. What about private pay? What if there's a person that doesn't qualify under these various income and resources, but they... I mean, can they just pay? Can they just private
yes,
pay out of their own money?
There is a flat rate for private pay. And although it sounds like a lot of money, and it is, it's definitely significantly less than paying for the cost of a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, it's slightly under $5,000 per month flat rate for the life program. But in the state of Pennsylvania, the average monthly cost for a nursing home is $8,000 to $12,000. So if you're going to pay anyway for care, again, you take a look at which setting would you prefer to be in.
Mm-hmm. And then there's always the monthly income spend down option, which
yes.
people could explore with your staff.
Right. I go out and do a home visit when people are interested in the program. I'll go out and sit down and talk with them, their family members, their caregivers, and explain the program, what the services are, eligibility criteria, and then if they are interested in finding out if they're eligible, we will start that assessment process.
We need to take a break. We'll do that. We have a few more questions for Janice Rogers when we come back. I did want to tell you what's coming up on the Monday program. We have a number of guests with us, one of whom is Peter Anno. And Peter is... guy from this area, Harmony area originally. We wanted to talk with him because he recently was in Antarctica. Now, why was Peter there? I'm not sure. I don't know whether he was there, maybe that was part of his work. some kind of research project. Maybe he just wanted to take one of those adventure vacations or something. But he sent me a picture, so I know he was there in Antarctica. I'm almost positive I've never talked with anyone who was in Antarctica before, so I'll be very anxious to chat with Peter. He'll be with us on the Monday program. Also coming up on Monday, there is a bicycle rodeo event coming up. It's not this weekend, but it's the following one down in the island section of the city of Butler. And we'll have some folks here to talk about that. It's pretty neat. I think they're going to be giving away bicycles, too, to kids. Free. And what else? We'll also be talking with Cliff Rumbaugh about he's from the Butler Street Machine Association. They're having a big car show event coming up on the 4th of July, which is Tuesday of next week. So we'll get all the details on that as well. It'll be a good program on Monday. Take a break. Back to talk a little bit more with the Janice here on It's Your Turn, Friday edition on WISR. Back right after these words.
I was just 49 when I started getting mail from AARP. AARP? Shoot, I was just getting started in life. Then I hit my 60s and retirement was on my mind. The big question was, did I prepare? What about healthcare? Are my finances in order? Not just for my wife and me, but for the kids and grandkids. I got the answers I needed from attorney Michael Pater, specializing in elder law, long-term care, Medicaid, and wills and estate planning, is attorney Michael Pater in the Handicap Accessible Morgan Center. Phone 287-7724.
At Butler Health System, there's more to medicine than the most advanced tools and techniques. There's the dedication to providing the most personal care, one that's shared by every member of our team, like renowned neurosurgeon Dr. Michael Horowitz.
I came to Butler because I wanted to practice medicine the way it's supposed to be done. It's truly about the patient. We get to know the people and what's important to them.
That dedication is why Butler Health System is trusted by our neighbors across the region and chosen by exceptional doctors who share our philosophy that the patient comes first, like orthopedic surgeon Charles Spingola.
I knew I'd have the tools and technology, but I also knew that there was a real commitment to genuine care. We don't treat medicine like an assembly line.
At Butler, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care, but more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Dave Malarkey is my name. We are chatting with Janice Rogers. Janice is the enrollment manager for Life Butler County. There are a number of medical aspects and medical care that's available through Life. Maybe you could talk about that for a few minutes, Janice.
Sure. Medically, as I mentioned previously, Dr. Abir Hanna is our primary care physician, and we have a nurse practitioner and registered nurses, but we also provide some other medical items. So medications we do provide. Those are pre-sorted into a weekly pill package, and a month's supply is delivered right to the individual's home every month. So they do not need to worry about running out of medications, remembering to reorder, or finding somebody to get to the pharmacy to pick those up.
And that can be very confusing, even sorting out pills to put into one of those daily container type things.
Right. So it's a nice system for people, and it also helps reduce any medication errors. We provide medical supplies as well, so incontinence supplies, diabetic testing supplies, things like catheter supplies, we have delivered monthly to the home. If someone is in need of a personal emergency response system, that's the I've fallen and I can't get up button, we put those in place as well. And durable medical equipment is provided too.
That's distinct from medical supplies.
Durable
equipment.
So durable equipment would be things like canes, walkers, or wheelchairs, hospital beds, oxygen. And we also provide some equipment that most insurance companies don't. So we will provide a bath or shower chair, bedside commode, a lot of times those items are not covered by other health insurances. Mm-hmm. And we actually are a health insurance. We are a managed care insurance provider. We're part of the new community health choices that the state is rolling out on January 1st. And being a managed care health means that we do have a contracted provider network. So we're contracted with a lot of the specialists in Butler County to provide specialty care. And we use Butler Hospital for all inpatient and outpatient services.
Mm-hmm. Managed care, that's the specific designation, because there are different kind of health care plans.
Yes, and for anybody that's on medical assistance, the state is going to a more specific managed care program by having three health insurance choices plus the life program starting January 1st.
Hmm. Well, you're already rolled out with yours, so no trouble there.
Yeah. Right, and we hope that when people are looking at their choices for January 1st, if they're 55 or older and they need some services, that they would give the life program consideration and maybe give us a call and get some more information to see if we could help them out.
Are there options for private pay under the managed health care insurance plan as well?
The other three are basically health insurance programs. Mm-hmm. Life would be just a little different in that we are more comprehensive in services that we provide beyond just the medical care. Mm-hmm. So it is a little different with the private pay aspect.
Boy, it must keep you busy to bone up on all this stuff all the time, because just when you learn all the specifics, then either the state or the federal government changes it. You know that.
Absolutely. I do enjoy going to a lot of workshops held by elder law attorneys, anything financial that applies to Medicaid. I try to keep up on just so that I can give a basic understanding to applicants and maybe steer them towards an elder law attorney then that can provide them with specific assistance.
Mm-hmm. Do you have about an equal number of men and women?
We have more women than we have men.
I would suspect that, and that's only because of demographics.
Yes.
In the United States, and it's been that way in our culture for a long, long time, women tend to live longer than men do.
Right, but we do have a fairly high number of men in the program.
Mm-hmm. Do people just, they call you? How do they hook up with you, by the way?
They can call. They can stop by. They can send me an email. A lot of times there'll be a referring person. Might be a social worker at the hospital, could be the pastor, maybe a physical therapist, even a neighbor that's concerned, and that will call me and say, Mrs. Smith is in need of some services and she would like you to give her a call. And so I will reach out and make that contact, offer to go out and sit down and talk face to face, and just provide some information that, even if it might not be helpful at this point in time, could be helpful for them in the future.
Mm-hmm. People don't enroll in advance, though, do they? Maybe they do. I don't know.
With our program, we do the assessment first because we need to make sure that they meet all of the criteria, the safety at home, the mm-hmm. medical, and the financial, as well as the age and county residency. We only enroll people on the first of the month with our program because of the Medicaid guidelines. So it can take 4 to 6 weeks for someone to get into the life program. So we're obviously not a crisis service. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But a lot of times people use home health care, visiting nurses in the interim while we are doing our assessment. And then we have a nice transfer of services from the short-term nursing care to the long-term life program services.
Do you have to re-enroll every so often, or once you're in, you're in?
Once you're in, you are in as long as you continue to meet the eligibility criteria.
Well, that's right. Of course, that could change, yeah.
But you're not stuck with us, too. On the other hand, you can voluntarily disenroll if you like for any reason. We enroll on the first of the month, and we disenroll on the last of the month.
Mm-hmm. So it would depend on, if you had people interested in enrolling, it would depend on when they started the ball rolling.
Yes.
How long? It could be as long as a month and a half.
Right. And it could be a short period of time, too, if somebody's already qualified for medical assistance through a nursing home, for example, and they're moving back home. If they've already been assessed by Area Agency on Aging and determined medically eligible. So a lot of factors determine how long the assessment process is.
How many people do you have on staff there at Life Butler County?
I would say we probably have close to 100 staff members at this point in time.
Wow. Are most of them centered at the Adult Day Healthcare Center or some of the other places?
The professional services like the therapies, the dietitian, social workers, nurses have offices in the Adult Day Center, but they do go out to the homes as well and do home visits and provide services at home. Our certified nurses aides and home care aides are most often out in the home helping people one-to-one.
I see. It was something I was going to ask you about when we were talking about medical services, and I forgot. When you said nurses, that reminded me. On-call nurse capability?
We do. We have an on-call nurse 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if someone starts feeling sick, they can just pick up the phone and call, talk to the nurse, who will help figure out what to do based on the situation. And if the nurse needs to go out to their home to do an assessment, they will do that as well.
I'm just getting the feeling overall that for most of the folks who decide to enroll in this, it must be a relief. It must give them a great, great feeling of peace of mind.
It does. They have a number of people that are looking out for their welfare, their quality of life, that care about them and how they're doing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. What about your staff? There must be satisfaction in your work as well, I should think.
I like working for the Life Program because you get to see the difference that the program makes in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And it can be amazing difference in as little as a couple months with the coordinated care and services provided, amazing improvements in medical situation, social situations.
How about quality of life situations? Maybe as important as anything else.
Absolutely.
When you have people who are moping around and depressed, you can see it in their body language.
And we do have contracted specialists, among which may be counseling or mental health services for those that are needed. We do vision care, dental care, eye care. So if there's a specialty, cardiology, pulmonology, whatever it is, we are contracted with different physicians in Butler County so that those services can be provided.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, did you know about this? Did you know as much about it as you do now, the Life Butler County program? It's certainly been an eye-opener for me. Janice Rogers is the enrollment manager for Life Butler County, and you can get in touch with her or her office if you want more specific information, or to schedule
a home visit.
One of your home visits. You'll go out and talk to people. Talk not only to the individual, but to their caregivers as well.
Yes, sometimes I go, and it may just be the one person I'm talking with, and I've gone into the home and had a table full of family members that are nurses, attorneys, you name it, sitting there to hear the information. So if it's somebody that's involved in your life and you want them present to hear the information and maybe help you make a good decision for what's best for you, I welcome everybody to be there, ask questions, learn about the program.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, yeah. And it's good to know that there are some families that are so concerned that they would have that many people there. You know, it's a big decision, after all.
It is. It's a life-changing decision.
Yeah. Well, that's why you call it Life Butler County. It's an acronym, Living Independence for the Elderly, right?
Yes.
Living Independence for the Elderly. It's the local name, actually, here in Pennsylvania for a program that is in 30-some other states across the country. They had to use a different name here in Pennsylvania because the one that they used nationwide was already taken.
Yes.
For a state program that offers help for purchase of drugs.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's Life, Butler County, Life, other counties. Do most counties have them?
In southwestern Pennsylvania, there are a lot of life programs.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of senior life programs, the Lutheran Senior Life, four counties. Philadelphia, out in the east, there are counties, mm-hmm. and they are slowly being developed in more of the northern counties.
Some of those counties, and, you know, when you go up there, sometimes it's really, there are not very many people, and they're spread out, you know.
Right, and that can be challenging for a life program because we do provide the medical transportation,
mm-hmm.
and even Butler County is a huge county geographically. So we have our buses on the road all day long.
Janice, thanks for stopping in and chatting with us.
Thank you very much.
Indeed, very, very educational. Janice Rogers with Life Butler County. 231 West Diamond Street, that's down over the hill behind the courthouse. And you gave a phone number that people could get in touch with you before. Can we give that again a couple of times?
724-287-5433 or 724-287-LIFE, L-I-F-E.
Easy to remember that.
It is.
Janice, have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Happy Independence Day. Still a couple of days off, but...
You know. Right, but same to you. Thank you very much.
All righty. More to come on It's Your Turn. Stick around. We'll chat next with Anna Usum. Anna visits with us by telephone from, gosh, I don't know where she's calling from. New York, I think. She is an MD. She's a medical doctor. She is also a psychologist, and she has been researching and even in her practice implementing a combination of medical science and spirituality for healing. It's an interesting concept, and she's very keen on it. We'll talk to her about that coming up next on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. Stick around. We'll be back after these words. For so many of us, a loving pet is, well, it's a member of the family, isn't it? If you're looking for a veterinarian you can trust when it comes time for a checkup or treatment for a pet that's ill, consider Suburban Animal Clinic and Dr. Dennis Damon, Route 8 South of Butler, 4 miles south of Butler, right at the intersection of Route 8 South and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon treats small animals, dogs, cats, all small animals, and exotic pets, too. If you have a question about illness, symptoms, shots, a checkup, if you need to talk to someone about concerns with an aging pet or a pet near the end of life, you can trust Dr. Dennis Damon. He loves animals. He's a pet owner himself. Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. Hours by appointment only, Monday through Saturday. Credit cards are accepted, and he makes house calls, too. Dr. Dennis Damon, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 4 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive. Phone 287-5289. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Listeners, nice to have you with us on this segment of It's Your Turn. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Dr. Anna Usum, and we're going to be talking about, this is an interesting subject, she's written a book called Fulfilled, How the Science of Spirituality Can Help You Live a Happier, More Meaningful Life. First of all, Dr. Anna Usum, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are a practicing psychiatrist, I'm correct?
That's right. I have a practice in the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. But now you've been working in recent years on this kind of intersection of science and spirituality, I guess, huh?
Yes, yes. And so I was in the midst of my medical training. I did my undergraduate at Stanford, my medical schooling at Yale Medical School, and was doing my psychiatry residency here in New York city. And then my own life hit a little bump in the road, and I found the healing tools that I was learning through all my medical training insufficient to help myself. So I started doing some research into other healing modalities, and I started studying with people at ashrams in India, and learning Buddhist meditation in Thailand, and learning Kabbalah here in New York City and in Israel, and working with shaman and other healers in South Africa and South America. And in the midst of that, that really helped me to supplement the medical tools and the healing tools I had under my belt. And that's what I integrated into my practice and what I present in the book Fulfilled.
So you're supplementing, but not replacing traditional medical practices.
Precisely, precisely. My book is a combination and an integration of traditional Western medicine with some of the less traditional spiritual and psychological healing tools of other cultures.
Have you had any reaction from your peers on your development?
Yes, you know, many people are quite skeptical, and the reason for that is because the currency of medical knowledge and, you know, the medical training I got is really based in science. And science is repeatable and reproducible and testable through experiments. But the nature of a lot of these spiritual principles that I bring up is much more personal and subjective and transcendent. And it's hard to reconcile a scientific worldview with a more spiritual kind of subjective worldview. That being said, my colleagues actually are also coming around to these ideas, and two former presidents of the American Psychiatric Association, so the leaders of all the American psychiatrists, have stood behind the book and endorsed it. So even my own colleagues are also coming around to accepting some of these ideas.
I'm interested in the first part of the title of your book, The Science of Spirituality. Can you, in fact, in some way, quantify spirituality, the science of spirituality?
Yeah, so for the reasons, you know, that I mentioned before, it's quite difficult because scientific knowledge and spiritual knowledge in some ways is fundamentally incompatible. That being said, there are more and more studies that are showing that spiritual practices, whether that be for some people religious practices like going to church or taking part in an organized religion, or more spiritual beliefs like being part of a greater whole or even connecting to nature, whatever one's spiritual orientation is, it's been shown that those actually help with healing from both medical, psychological, and emotional issues. The amount of cancer goes down in individuals who have spiritual beliefs and who have spiritual practices, and also quality of life goes up significantly. And especially in areas of addiction, it's been shown that having a spiritual awakening is one of the positive prognostic factors in helping people to overcome some of their problems.
You've studied, as you mentioned, spirituality and many different parts of the world. Do you find that this trend of spiritual neglect, for lack of a better term, spiritual neglect is more common in Western cultures today than it is in Eastern, for example?
I think very much so, because the worldview that encompasses spirituality is really part of the culture in so many other countries, such as India, such as Thailand, where they have different religious traditions, Hinduism and Buddhism, which really embrace a different approach to how they see the world. And it's an approach that's more founded in spiritual principles. Here in the Western world, it's really not as much the case. But that's also changing because people are recognizing the power of spirituality in healing and starting to embrace and integrate that into their lives more as well.
One of the biggest problems that we face in American society today, American culture, and this is all over the country, is opioid addiction. I mean, it's everywhere, and it's tragic. Have you dealt with patients, with clients who have battled addiction, and has your technique been able to help them at all?
Yes, yes. So I have a lot of people coming to my practice with addiction. And in my book, I have actually a whole chapter devoted to addiction. And when I talk about addiction, I certainly encompass the substance addictions and alcohol addictions that so many people think of when we speak of addictions, but I also include behavioral addictions, like addictions to gambling or addictions to sex or video games or even one's iPhone. And I also talk about psychological addictions, which are addictions to things like power and materialism and status. And my definition of an addiction is whenever we look towards anything outside of ourselves to fill ourselves up, to fill up our emptiness, to fill up our void. And although we can have a temporary high from that addiction, oftentimes, after the high wears off, we begin to feel empty inside again. And so I give tools in my book on how to fill one's void in more constructive, enduring ways that don't involve addictions.
The title of your book is Fulfilled. Can you talk a little bit about why you chose that simple and that one word for a title?
Yes. Actually, my publisher chose that. My prior title for the book was The Science of the Soul. And as my publisher was reading my story, they're like, well, it seems like through this you found fulfillment. We're going to title your book Fulfilled. And, you know, it resonated with me. I said, sounds good. Let's do that.
We're talking, listeners, if you've joined us a few minutes late on the this segment of It's Your Turn, that's fine. Dave Malarkey is my name. Our guest is Anna Usom, M.D., and she's the author of Fulfilled, How the Science of Spirituality Can Help You Live a Happier, More Meaningful Life. I dare say, Dr. Usom, that there are some of our listeners who are probably saying, well, of course, I've realized this all of my life. Have you run into people who say, naturally?
Of course, yes, exactly. And I feel like people are divided in two camps. Probably the majority of people actually say naturally. You know, they're like, of course, you know, of course spirituality helps me to heal. Of course God helps me with my life path to live a better life, or that my connection to the universe or Mother Nature is what's the enduring and force of meaning in my life. And then there's the other camp, which is often my own colleagues, which are so grounded in science. And because we don't yet have the science to support the power of spirituality, even though we're beginning to have it, my own colleagues are often quite skeptical of it.
What is your technique when you're dealing with patients? Do you have to kind of have some preliminary sessions where you're kind of laying out the groundwork for this approach?
Well, you know, in working with patients, I first of all, I never feel that it's a one-size-fits-all approach. And so I do a standard assessment, which is just learning about my patient and what it is that makes them tick, what makes them happy, what brings them pain. And in the midst of that, I figure out where, you know, why they really came to me. Sometimes people come for the reasons they think, but sometimes people actually come for much deeper reasons that only emerge in the course of a few sessions. And in that, we really get to the approach. And, you know, the three cornerstones of my approach are authenticity, soul correction, which basically is removing self-destructive patterns, and connecting to part of something greater. So those are the three things that I employ with all my patients.
Are you convinced of the effectiveness of this approach in dealing with people who are battling mental illness as well, things like bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety?
Absolutely, absolutely. And my approach, although it's based in spiritual principles, I certainly do use, with the right patients and when medically indicated, psychiatric medication. So if someone comes in an acute manic episode, or with a deep depression feeling suicidal, or wanting to get off opiates and having horrible withdrawal symptoms, I think it's actually important to first treat the medical underlying biochemical imbalance with medication, which I do, and only then, once the person's stabilized, to really get into some of the soul work that I do with my patients.
One of the topics that I noticed in your book is understanding the scientific underpinnings behind answered prayers. Can you talk about that for a moment or so?
Yes, yes. And so the third part of my approach is connecting to part of something greater. And that means different things to different people. And part of that involves starting to pray or starting to connect to, you know, the higher good, whatever that means to you. And prayer has so many elements of that are so conducive to healing. And that means, number one, intentionality. When you pray, you ask for something. You get clear about what you want. Number two, you recognize that you're not alone in the world, that there's actually something or someone out there who's helping you to be the best version of yourself and wants the best for you. And number three, oftentimes when people do this, they do become part of an organized community of some sort, whether a religious community, a spiritual community, or a community of seekers. And so those three things make prayer actually quite effective as a way of having healing in one's life.
One chapter in your book is entitled Synchronicity. What do you mean by that, Dr. Husem?
Yes. So synchronicity is a term that was coined by Carl Jung, and he talks about synchronicity as meaningful coincidences, those things that happen in our lives to which we give meaning and that you can think of as random occurrences, but often, because of the meaning we ascribe to them, they're indicative of an greater overlying or underlying order to the universe. For instance, you can think about someone and then they call you, someone you haven't thought about in years. Or someone comes into your mind, and then you bump into them on the street and you haven't seen them in a long time. Was that purely random chance? Or was it somehow meaningful in some way? And these synchronicities occur in people's lives all the time. And often, a number of powerful synchronicities in close succession is the universe signaling to you that you're on the right path. A number of very negative synchronicities all coming in close succession is a signal that you're on the wrong path. Change course. Something is off.
You have a chapter, and I'm hopping around, obviously. I have to in the interest of time as
of
we
course,
chat today.
Of course,
in your chapter on transforming fear, and I thought this might that the listeners might relate to this. You tell the story of a woman, you use the name Christina. I'm not sure whether that's her real name. But she was having trouble sleeping. In fact, she could not sleep. It was after the death, I believe, of her mother in a car accident. And she came to you for help with this anxiety, which was crippling her. She could not get any sleep. You were able to determine that it was actually all about her fear of death, I guess, huh? Her own.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in this case, Christina, her mother, just like you said, with whom she was very, very close, had passed away. And she found herself unable to sleep at night thereafter. And as we were really getting at the root of this, you know, in a way, when one goes to sleep, it's like a small temporary death. Yes, you wake up, but you lose consciousness. There's a loss of control when you're sleeping. And so we realized that actually her insomnia was due to her own fear of death coming up. And fear of death is one of the four key existential anxieties that all of us have as human beings. The other three are, you know, our quest or search for purpose and meaning. Another one is our, you know, fear of loneliness or aloneness or isolation. And another one is, you know, our freedom to do with our life that which we want. Those are kind of the four existential issues that we all struggle with. And the one here that was being engaged and keeping Christina awake at night was her fear of death. And fear of death often isn't even a fear of death at all. Often we fear death because we haven't lived life most fully. We haven't lived our life completely or in the way that we most authentically would like to. And as we started working with Christina around that, we realized that she wasn't in a career that she found particularly meaningful. And as we helped her change that, her insomnia actually got much, much better.
That's fascinating. Just a little bit more about the structure of your book. Listeners, again, the title is Fulfilled. By Anna Husem. So you have these stories, case histories. What else will listeners find in your book? Do you have, like, workshop exercises or something like that as well?
Yes, exactly. So each chapter has numerous exercises to try to make ideas and theories of the book more tangible and practical to my readers. And each chapter also has about five or six case studies of patients from my private practice.
Is your book accessible to the average person? Are we going to be overwhelmed by medical terms and stuff like that?
Not at all. It's actually written for the average person, whether it's the average person who's intellectual and thoughtful or the average person who, you know, likes to, like, it, you know, wants something very simple and straightforward. It's written in a style that hopefully everyone can relate to, and I try to make it also very personal and add my own personal story throughout.
If you're looking for more information, listeners, on our guest, Anna Usum, M.D., her last name is spelled Y-U-S-I-M, Anna Usum, author of Fulfilled, How the Science of Spirituality Can Help You Live a Happier, More Meaningful Life. Dr. Usum, thanks for chatting with us today. Fascinating stuff.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. So long now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
DBS Telecommunications is a telephone equipment dealer and a data network installer serving Butler and the Pittsburgh area, too. They sell, install, and repair telephones for your office. They primarily install commercial telephone and voicemail systems. DBS has been around, folks. They've been serving the Butler area for the past 32 years. We use them here. We use their services at the Butler Radio Network. DBS Telecommunications. They specialize in phone systems, custom-designed networks, including fiber optics, also high-quality hybrid digital telephone systems, 5-year warranties there, high-definition surveillance camera systems, multi-door entry access systems, overhead commercial paging. They also provide cabling for voice, data, and cable television wiring in both industrial and commercial applications. Call them today, DBS Telecommunications, 724-285-9088. They're on the web at dbs-tel.com. We are speaking today with physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist, Dr. Edward Reedy from Tri-Rivers Surgical. Dr. Reedy, what is electrodiagnostic testing?
Electrodiagnostic testing, or also known as EMG testing, is an electrical test of the outside nerve, peripheral nervous system. It involves predominantly disorders of the nerves in your arms or legs. It's used for a variety of conditions, most commonly carpal tunnel syndrome or other pinched nerves in the arms, but also can be very helpful for diagnosing pinched nerves of the spinal axis, either the cervical or lumbar areas. And occasionally for more serious neurologic conditions such as peripheral neuropathy or even Lou Gehrig's disease.
To learn more, call Tri-Rivers Surgical at their new office near the Clearview Mall in Butler. Toll free, 866-874-7483. Listeners, we're talking for a few minutes here on the It's Your Turn program today with Sam Keen. He is the author of a national bestseller, a book entitled The Disappearing Spoon and Other True Tales of Madness, Love, and the History of the World from the Periodic Table of the Elements. First of all, Sam Keen, it's nice to meet you. It's nice to be able to talk with you for a few minutes here today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
The title of your book is quite a mouthful, Sam. Tell us where that title came from.
Well, it is kind of a long title, but it was kind of the point of the book, too, is to tell a funny or spooky or wild tale about every single element on the periodic table. So I think the title kind of reflects all the different things that are in the book. There's a lot crammed in there.
First of all, let's mention the periodic table. Some of our listeners will have more recent memories of that than others. For some of our listeners, it may be ancient history all the way back to high school. Review that for us a little bit from our science class, if it was a ways back for some of us. What's the periodic table?
Yeah, as you said, everyone kind of remembers the periodic table, though not always fondly sometimes. The periodic table basically is a clever way to organize all of what are elements. It's just something that can't be broken down by ordinary means, meaning that, you know, normal day-to-day processes can't break an element down.
Mm-hmm.
So something like water, H2O, can be broken down into the H and the O. But once you get down to the H and the O, you can't break it down any further.
So hydrogen.
And once you've gotten all of those together, you have the periodic table. And the clever thing about the periodic table is that the elements that are in one column of the table, they have very similar properties. And so it's just a smart way for scientists to organize it and keep track of what properties these elements have.
So water is not an element, but its two components, hydrogen and oxygen, are both elements.
Yep, exactly. Carbon dioxide, not an element itself, but the carbon and the oxygen, again, are both elements.
Is the periodic table finite? Is it complete? Will there ever be any additions? Have there been any recent additions?
Well, funny you should mention that. There were actually, just yesterday, they announced that two more elements are going to join the periodic table officially. Elements 114 and 116 both joined the table just yesterday. And they don't know what the elements are going to be named yet. The scientists who discovered them have the right to name them. But they are officially joining the table, and we should be finding out the names of them sometime soon. The world are sort of whispering what they think the names might be already.
Mm-hmm. Who came up with the periodic table? How far back does it go?
It goes back pretty far, to the mid-1800s. And there were actually six different scientists who came up with something like the periodic table. And the one we all remember today is Dmitri Mendeleev. But he was actually the last of those six to come up with the idea. And he deserves credit for doing some things, but coming up with the idea of the table, it wasn't necessarily him that did the most work there. There were people who kind of beat him to it. What Mendeleev did that was so important was he incorporated more elements than other people had, and he was also very good about making predictions about new elements that would be found. So other people had maybe just left a hole in the table, but when Mendeleev saw the hole, he said, I bet there will be a new element here, and based on the elements around it, it will probably have this and this property. And when they started finding new elements that did have those properties, people were kind of astounded that this Russian sitting in his office thousands of miles away could foresee the properties of these elements without ever having had the element itself.
Listeners, for those of you who may be joining us a few minutes late on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, Dave Malarkey is my name. Our guest visits with us by telephone today. He is author Sam Keen. His book, The Disappearing Spoon, and Other True Tales of Madness, Love, and the History of the World from the Periodic Table of the Elements. I know that there is some sort of international commission, Sam, that decides what's going to be a planet and what isn't. In fact, just a few years ago, they got together and decided that Pluto wasn't going to be a planet any longer. Is there any commission analogous to that that governs what's on the periodic table? I mean, who decides what goes on and what's kicked off?
There is. It's called the International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry, called IUPAC. And they are the ones who judge whether an element actually exists or not. And they also approve the name for it. And that might sound a little weird, saying whether an element exists or not. But nowadays, when scientists are adding to the periodic table, they're not going out in nature and getting their fingernails dirty and finding new things in the ground. They're actually creating them, these new elements, in labs in very high-tech experiments. But you might spend a decade or more working on one of these experiments and get just five or six atoms of this element. So it's very hard to tell that you even have. And that's why it can take a decade or more to add elements to the periodic table nowadays. And hence, that's the need for something like IUPAC, of people who can kind of officially judge that it exists at one point.
Mm-hmm. Sam Keen, our guest, author Sam Keen, is a writer in Washington, D.C. His work has appeared in the New York Times Magazine, Slate, Air and Space, Smithsonian, New Scientist, other publications. A couple of years ago, he was runner-up for the National Association of Science Writers Everett Clark Seth Payne Award for Best Science Writer Under the Age of 30. Just so you know a little bit about our author. It says here you spent years collecting mercury from broken thermometers as a kid. Is that true, or is that tongue-in-cheek, Sam?
No, when I was in about third grade or so, I had a bad go of things, and I came down with strep throat, something dozen times,
mm-hmm.
and I had to stay home every time. But my mother would put an old-fashioned mercury thermometer under my tongue, and I was a little kid, and not infrequently, I would drop the thermometer on our hardwood floor, and it would shatter. But I was never too disappointed when that happened, because I loved watching the mercury scatter around the floor. It was like these little liquid ball bearings on our floor. And my mother was very cool about it. She never panicked. She never evacuated the house or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
She would actually get down on her hands and knees with a toothpick. She would brush the little spheres together until we had a nice big glob of mercury. And we actually had a pill jar on a knick-knack shelf in our house where we would keep all the mercury as it accumulated over the years. So ever since then, mercury has been my favorite.
I'm sorry, we lost a little bit of your lost a little bit on the feed there. You say mercury's been your favorite. Is mercury an element?
Yeah, mercury is an element, and it has been my favorite ever since then as a kid, because it's such a gorgeous element. But it also has such a rich history in science and other areas.
Mm-hmm.
So the combination of all those, I think, makes it the most wonderful element on the table.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about some of these stories, because I was setting a little bit of background there. That's really the nuts and bolts of Sam's book, The Disappearing Spoon. It's fascinating stories about the elements and the roles they have played in human history. And we'll talk about some of those, give you a little a tease about some of the stories you'll find in the book when we continue our conversation with Sam Keene in just a couple of minutes here on It's Your Turn.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 54-5-4. The pick 3 is 944-944. The pick 4, 4-5-1-3. The pick 5, 28-8-0-7. Wild ball for each of those is 2. Then your treasure hunt is 1, 6, 16, 20, and 22. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Welcome, listeners. Nice to have you with us today on It's Your Turn. Dave Malarkey is my name. Our guest, author Sam Keene, joins us by telephone. We're talking about his book, The Disappearing Spoon. You have lots and lots of stories about the elements in your book, Sam. You would be hard-pressed, I'm sure, to pick two or three or four of your favorites, but can you give us a couple of the stories so that we can have a little bit, our listeners can have a little bit of the flavor of your book?
Sure. One of my favorite stories was the story of aluminum, because it's an element that everyone is familiar with and everyone kind of thinks they know what aluminum is all about. But when aluminum was first discovered back in the 1800s, it was actually the most precious substance on Earth for a while. It was worth far more than silver.
Wow.
It was worth far more than gold. And the reason why is that even though aluminum is very common in the Earth, common metal in the Earth's crust, it's always very tightly bonded to other elements, usually oxygen. And so it's very hard to get a pure sample of it. And when scientists did start to get pure samples of aluminum, it was considered sort of miraculous. It was a very light metal, but it was also very strong and very attractive. And kings and other people for this element, they wanted it. It kind of showed off that they had wealth to afford aluminum. The French, for instance, had these Fort Knox-like bars of aluminum that they put next to their crown jewels.
Huh.
The Emperor Napoleon III had a prized set of aluminum cutlery that he reserved for his most favored guests at banquets, and the lesser nobility had to eat with gold knives and forks. Even in the D.C., the Washington Monument put a 6-inch pyramid. in the 1880s, we were kind of showing off a little. We were saying we're such an incoming industrial power that we can afford to put aluminum on our public monuments. So I just really think it's a wonderful story, and it kind of shows how the fortunes of the elements change so much over time.
Yeah, who would have believed that years later they'd be using it to wrap around houses on aluminum siding, for goodness sakes.
Or that we send kids up to bat in baseball games with these bats worth millions of dollars to people way back when.
Aluminum bats, yeah. What about some of the elements continue to be in the news a lot? Carbon, for example, today, most of the time when you hear about carbon in the news today, it's trying to reduce the carbon footprint of this, that, or the other thing.
Yes, it's gotten to be kind of a political issue around the world that they want to, get less carbon up into the air. And, some people think that the idea, or the best idea, is to get it back into the ground. How they're going to do that,